You got your green light on there.
I don't think I have any light right now. Let me look. Okay. What do I do? Just hit this?
Yeah, just hold it down until the green light comes on.
Okay, that's what you're talking about right there.
Yep, you got it.
Good to go. It's good to be with you. Thankful for you people and appreciate you, and I don't know how many years it's that I've known Brother Rupert and Betty and you folks, but I count it a joy to know you, and I appreciate each one of you. And my privilege to be down a few times and try to preach. You're very attentive, and I thank the Lord for you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll look at verses 24 and 25. You should get a message this morning if I just read these two verses. I would hope that you could apply them to that of yourself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What a wonderful passage of scripture for us. We see in this the sheep going astray. We see the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And we see the return unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. The Bible says we as sheep have all gone astray. We have fallen. We've sinned. We come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we've turned each one to our own way. We're sinful by that of nature and by practice, aren't we? We come into this world with a sinful nature, then we practice that of sin. We sin against light. There's no excuse for us. As the scripture says, we've wandered away. There's a hand that cares for us. Like the shepherd and the sheep sometimes would find a gap in the hedges and they'd go through it. But once when they went through it, they couldn't return. They didn't know how to get back. They couldn't return to the place from where they had wandered. Now, that's different with cattle or horses. I had some calves to get out, and I've had cows to get out, and I didn't even know there's out. They'd go back, get back in at the end of the day. But here's man. And the Bible teaches that he's without power to return. He's gone astray. He's done it willingly. He's done it foolishly. And he's done it in stupidity. Gone astray. We confess that it's foolishness that we went out of the path. We should have lived to the Lord. We should have given him the glory that was due his name. One thing about sheep, they often go after a fresh pasture, even that has that of poisonous weeds. They get tired quick. They get weary. The shepherd always tried to get them to eat all the grass before moving so it wouldn't be wasted. They'd see other places that they'd desire. But again, you see the care and the need of the watchful shepherd. How we need him to watch over us. Sheep are prone to follow one another. I've read one place that says if it's going across a bridge and one decided to jump, what happens to the rest of them? They jump also. They like to follow one another. It said in the old days when they went to slaughter sheep that they'd use a stuffed sheep to draw the others in. So you see something about them. But the Bible makes it clear that when sheep has gone astray, they never return of themselves. They never find their way back to the fold. Easy to go as mankind. Easy to stray. Easy to wander. And that's why we have to have the Lord himself to come after us. What a beautiful picture found over in the book of Luke, where he goes out, finds the sheep, and lays it upon his shoulders and brings it home rejoicing. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. In the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, we find in verse number 6, he says, "My sheep have wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Verse number 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of the places which they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." And sheep return to the fold because of the good shepherd that brings them or has brought them. That's how they return. We notice the passage says his own self bear sins. It's a sin this morning to wander. It's a sin to depart. Sin is the cause of all misery in this world. You think about the misery and the evil. It's because of sin. There's original sin and there's actual sin. And it all meets for the believer right here upon the great Redeemer. It meets upon him. It meets upon our substitute. The Bible tells us sin must be atoned for. It must be put away. It must be blotted out. What a statement that we have when he says he's bare our sins in his own body. This innocent substitute, we see him taking our sins. We see him suffering. We see him bearing our sins. This one. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. And this chapter, I just stop when I come to it. When it speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Isaiah all these years before, pointing out the Savior. And we see what he sees. When he looks at him, verse 4, he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. That's why he's on the cross. That's why he was afflicted of God. That's why he was smitten. Because he is wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we are sheep, like sheep gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So we see him dying in our stead. We see his work upon Calvary's cross. The scripture says he has made sin for us who knew no sin. He himself bare our sins. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he did this voluntarily. His own self. I submit unto you there's a connection between the shepherd and the sheep. As we read this portion of scripture. We have our original fall. And it was by another. It was by Adam. Who was made sinners. By Adam. But we see our Lord accomplishing our salvation. He accomplished it a long time before we was born. He's called the second Adam. We sinned in Adam. Our salvation is in a federal headship. It's in Christ Jesus. There's several things in this passage of scripture that we can find. One is God must punish sin. That is an absolute. And we see him laying it and putting it upon our Lord Jesus Christ and making him to be sin for us. I don't think anybody knows when it comes to the crucifixion, when it comes to the Lord and what he suffered, this only begotten Son, when the wrath of God fell on him. I don't think anybody can express it or anybody knows what all happened when it met on Christ Jesus. But the result is that our sins was put away. It's been removed. That the debts that we had has been discharged. There's satisfaction made. I remember reading about Christ and his work many, many years ago, and few things that stick with you, and I wish there's a lot more that stuck with me, but they used to call the atonement satisfaction. That's what he done. Christ made satisfaction unto God when he paid for our very sins. And I state unto you today that it is a redemption that redeems. It's an atonement that atones. We hear and see things that's preached in our day, and they say that there's been a redemption, but it lets people go to hell. They say there's been atonement, but it lets people go to hell. I would ask, what kind of redemption is that? What kind of an atonement is that? Is our Lord and Savior a failure? No, He's a Redeemer that took our sin. He's one that paid the price. The weight of our sins is put upon Him, and He bore them. And I say unto you today that He bore all of His elect sins. He bore them. What was due them? We see Him. He bore them so that we wouldn't have to bear them. Could you bear the eternal consequences of your sin? Would you want to? He bore our sins. Our debts was transferred to Him. And justice was met. It was met. And this is a payment that God demanded, and the payment that He received, and He'll not demand another payment. He doesn't have to be twice paid when He's paid. Our sins is blotted out. They've been put away out of God's sight. And Paul can write in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, verse number 1, says, there now is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. He writes here that we being dead to sin, there's the old man, and there's a crucifixion. He's crucified. It says we live under righteousness. In this next part of the verse, it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. The Bible sets forth that of sin as a disease in the Scripture. And we see here a healing for that. We have that of preaching today that tells us that by His stripes we're healed. This is a physical healing. It's not. It's a spiritual healing. He healed us spiritually. Here's a disease that is fatal. And sin is a fatal disease. Because of sin, death entered into the world. And here's that of a healing. Here's a great physician, and He came to heal. And He heals by His death, by His suffering. It talks about stripes here, and we see the horrible punishment and the shame of the cross. You know, that's about to scourge Paul one time, and he told him his Roman citizenship so they wouldn't scourge him. But they scourged our Lord, didn't they? Our Lord bore the stripes in our very place. Isaiah, writing about this, and these years before, he wrote this. He said, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. That ought to just stop us. Here's God Almighty. Here's His Son. It was His delight from eternity. And Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, writes, and it says the Lord was pleased to bruise Him. they hung him on the cross. But he is there by determinate and counsel of God, but in foreknowledge of God. It's a determinate thing. It happened. There was the piercing of his body, his suffering. When we look at it, we ought to see this. We see the love of God. We see the love of Christ. But we also ought to see God's anger against sin when he was made sin. It says, ye were healed. It's an effective thing. Sin is compared in the scripture to that of the disease, and one of the great diseases in that day was leprosy. And as you know, leprosy, it eat away at the extremities of the body. Eat away the toes, the fingers, the nose. And they wouldn't get near one that was a leopard. If they saw him, thought he was dead, they just took a rope and lassoed him and carried him down to the Jerusalem to the garbage dump. It said at night you'd hear the howling and the screams coming forth. See, they didn't get close enough to examine them. They looked like they was dead. They just took them on down. And that's a picture of Gehenna. Now, think about that in terms of the leper that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to him and saw Christ. He knew his power. He knew his healing. And he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. You'd heal me if thou wilt. I thought about it. What about that leper when the Lord said, I will be thou healed? Look at the doom that he faced. The Lord said, I will. And here it tells us by his stripes, we are healed. We need a healing. And here's that healing. Him bearing our sins in his own body. It tells us that we are crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We are resurrected with Christ, and we are seated with Christ. The Bible tells us to live in the newness of life. Live under righteousness. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Over in the book of Galatians, Paul writes, let me give you a couple scriptures here. In 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. We live in it, but it's to be crucified. Turn back to the second chapter of Galatians. What a verse this is, in verse number 20. Paul writes and he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible teaches us that we to live a life of faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We to live a life of prayer, praying. We to live a life of love, loving our Lord, loving each other. We to live a life of hope, that blessed hope, that day that we lay down these bodies, we go to be with the Lord. We also to live a life of repentance. I remember reading years and years ago that Augustine, or Augustine, or what you want to call him, he said this: I was born for nothing but repentance. That seems to be our lives, doesn't it? Repentance. Live a life of humility. What if the Lord hadn't dealt with us? What if he hadn't bore our sins in his own body? What if we was not healed by his stripes? We see the consequences of all of that. But again, we see the healing. Through this healing, our sins is pardoned. I don't think we see. We know we're sinners, but yet do we really see how sinful that we are? Oh, the pardoning. What all he's pardoned us. He subdues sin. He gives us his righteousness. He gives us the power to serve him. And it's because we've been delivered from the bondage of sin. We serve him. We desire to worship him. We want to honor and praise him. Give him the glory. And it says in verse 25 that you've returned. You've returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You were, but are now returned. What blessed words. You were, and now you've returned. I submit unto you that that makes all the difference in the world right here, doesn't it? If we just left it there as a sheep going astray, look at the consequences of that. Look at the terribleness of that. Sheep going astray. But now look at the blessedness of this. You've returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. How great is it? It's an eternal thing, isn't it? It goes on for eternity. If you've returned to him, he's brought you to him. It goes on, it continues. By the way, the Bible says our Lord, as a shepherd here, he's the great shepherd. It sets him forth as the good shepherd and the chief shepherd, all three. Now he's the one that comes after his sheep. He's the seeker. He's the one that finds his sheep. He calls. Hear his voice. I tell you, it's a wonderful day when he comes to you and he says, I've come to get you. I've come for you. You're mine. I've redeemed you. I bought you. I paid the price for you. I've healed you. I've come to save you. Oh, you've wandered away. But I've come for you. What a blessing. He comes for us when he saves us. Could be in a dark night. And I tell you, that's where sin will take you sometimes, in the very darkness. He comes after his sheep. It could be in the deep fog. But he has all seeing eye. The fog of life. He says, I've come to get you. It could be in the swamp, the mire of the swamp. And I think that's a pretty good picture of man. He just gets a little deeper and a little deeper in the swamp of life, doesn't he? He's going down. I don't see man jumping up, but I see him going down. I've come to get you. Be wonderful this morning. If you're here, even now, he says, I've come to get you. He calls to you. I've come to get you. I paid a price for you. I bought you. You're mine. You're not your own. You've been bought. You know, there's no hope of the sheep getting back except that of the Lord Jesus Christ appears, the Good Shepherd. No hope. A lot of you, the Lord came after you in the gospel. You're sitting under the gospel, and the Lord came after you, didn't he? Come to fetch you. He has pity for his sheep. Great love. There's something else that he does, the sheep. He puts in them a desire to return. He creates it in their hearts and their souls. He works a will in them. They see a need of the shepherd. They look at the mare. they look where they've wandered. They desired a shepherd. This his work, to be brought home. Can you see that sheep out there in the middle of the night and wandering far away? And if it's even daytime, they couldn't find a way back, but in the fog of it all, he says, I've come to fetch you. I've come to draw you. I've loved you with an everlasting love, and in loving kindness I've drawn you unto myself. To hear that heavenly voice. Matthew heard it. He was sitting at the seat of the custom, this tax collector, and the Lord said, come follow me. Zacchaeus had climbed up in a tree. The Lord come by and he says, come down. I'm going to be with you. Salvation's come to you today. There's old Saul. He has taken those Christians to be persecuted. The Lord appeared to him. He says, I fought hard to apprehend for that which I've been apprehended, didn't he? He said, Lord, apprehended me. He was one of the Lord's sheep. And the Lord apprehended him. And I submit that's what he does for his sheep. He apprehends them. There's that voice that says, come. And it's with power. It's effectual. It's a voice of grace. It's a voice of mercy. It's a voice of love. It says, now you've returned. What were we? Just poor, wandering sheep. But now you've returned. Who gets the credit for this? Who gets the glory? I tell you, we're grateful to the Good Shepherd, aren't we? We give him all the glory. If you've been returned from that of danger, if you've been returned to that of safety, you've been returned to the Shepherd, I say unto you, you're grateful to him. That's who you're grateful to. He came for us. He goes on and tells us here he's a bishop of our very souls. He watches over his flock. I'm glad that we're under his watchful eye. That he watches over us. We're under his tender care. He keeps guard over that of his sheep. We know that wolves, we know of that of dogs, vicious dogs. The Lord guards his sheep. Watches over. He watches over his flock, but he also watches over us as individuals. Now, in closing, you were, but now you've returned. unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You return to him who is the overseer. What a blessed verse. What a blessed experience. You were, but now you've returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May the Lord bless you as we think about what he's done for us, what he's bore for us. And as he's done this, we're dead to sins and we should live unto righteousness. And think about these stripes. That was healing stripes that was put upon him. May the Lord bless you people. And I thank you for the opportunity of being here and speaking to you this morning. And give God the glory for all that he's done. What, do you have a hymn or?
You want to sing a solo?
No. Let Doug sing it.